You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
It is the SRA training day in Scotland, and I'm here with the Regional Officer for Scotland, Mark. How are you feeling about today?
Yeah, hi Scott. I'm feeling really excited, looking forward to it. A lot of preps in. It's interesting, like, coming from the organisational side of the SRA training day rather than coming as a guest. I remember being stressed as enough coming to a different place as a guest, so it's been really, like, interesting, that change. But I think we've got a great lineup. And Fresh Air have been incredibly supportive, and they've really impressed me as a station. And hopefully it's just a really good day for Scottish Student Radio.
What was your background? What student station did you come from yourself?
Cool. So I was at Radio Cali for 4 years. I was head of music for 1 year, station manager for 2 years, and had a show for 4 years that eventually became like the late night Thursday show. And for those that listen in to such a show, you know, like, what goes down. And I think that's when I became infatuated with radio and went from maybe like a casual radio listener when I was maybe 18 to like an easy identifiable radio devotee right now.
So as the regional officer, what for people that aren't here that are involved with Scottish stations today, what is your role? What are you looking to help them with?
Well, I'm really looking to try three things out for this year. Number one is to empower Scottish students. I think there's a lot of really good things happening at the different Scottish student radio stations, not necessarily part of the SOA. We want to include them, but also we want to empower them. And I think I understand that, like, the loneliness, like, a lot of stations can feel like, I'm doing this against the world. I think a bit of encouragement and just a bit of advice can go a long way. I know I would have really benefited from that, and I did so when Lee was the Scotland officer. Number two, I want to retune Scotland with the SRA. I want to tighten those bonds so it's back to what it used to be. And thirdly, which is a really ambitious one, is I want to bring the SRA radio conference to Scotland. Maybe not for 2017, perhaps 2018. I'm looking far ahead, but you've got to do that with all the work involved.
Excellent. That's great. So the people you've got on today, who are you most looking forward to, would you say?
Oh, that's really hard. We've got four speakers for the training day. We've got Callum McDonald, who obviously won Best Male Gold of the SRA Award, sponsored by Radio 1 and Global back in 2014. So he's always been a really interesting guy. I followed his career. Richard Melvin of Dabster Productions. He taught me at the Expo North training day, training a couple of weeks actually. And he's like a big inspiration for me. Michelle Mackay at the Bearer Academy, she's really, really interesting as well. And she just wants to support upcoming talent. And that's really important. It's really inspiring that someone from the industry is coming out to meet us. And Chloe Davison as well. She was like a couple years above me at Radio Cali. And she's done really well just through the marketing routes. Maybe not the obvious route for a lot of media students and indeed radio students. But she's done some tremendous work with Capital. And it'll be great to hear how she did it.
Excellent. Well, we'll catch up with you after the day's finished, but it sounds like it's going to be a great time.
Here's hoping, Scott. Here's hoping.
To get in contact with us, tweet at SRA.
This is Scott here for the SRA podcast, and I'm with today's first speaker at the Scotland Training Day. It's Callum McDonald. Callum, can you give us a little bit of a background of where you're currently at?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've come up today from Manchester. I'm currently working as a broadcast journalist with BBC Radio 5 Live.
Excellent. So you actually came from student radio yourself. What station was that?
Yeah, so I was on Fresh Air at the University of Edinburgh since I started uni, actually, when I went to uni in 2011, and did a variety of things there. The first year I was just kind of settling in and doing bits and pieces. Got involved in the news team, eventually started running the news team and doing all kinds of fun programmes with them. So yeah, that was kind of the highlight, I guess, was running the news team and really trying to enhance and increase and improve our news coverage.
Is news radio something you've always kind of wanted to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember when I was probably, I don't know how young I'd have been, 12 or 13 maybe, I saw a radio news programme going out for the first time being broadcast live, and the buzz was just incredible. It was a relatively short programme, you know, it wasn't a sort of spectacular fancy thing, it was, you know, it was just simple and effective news delivery on a radio programme. And ever since that day, I've been absolutely determined that news radio is where I wanted to end up, and now I'm on the BBC's National News and Sport radio station, which is good fun.
Excellent. And back in 2014, we're really proud proud to be speaking to you right now, because you are one of kind of like our success stories, aren't you?
Yeah, well, thank you very much. That's very kind. So 2014 was, yeah, the big year, I guess. So I'd entered the Student Radio Awards a couple of times before that, and our news team had done okay, actually, the previous year. We'd picked up a bronze, I think, for Best Outside Broadcast. And I'd actually entered the Best Male Presenter category before then as well, but it was of me presenting a kind of music entertainment programme, which has never really been my strong point. I enjoyed it, it was great fun, and we had a right laugh doing it, but it wasn't really my thing. And then in 2014 I entered, but this time it was me presenting a news programme, which is my passion and is what I enjoyed doing most. And won Gold Award that year in 2014, which was good fun, and very kind of everybody to award me the gold prize. I think from that, I've always said that when I've been sort of chatting to people who are still at Fresh Air or whatever, that really demonstrated to me that as annoying as the advice to always be yourself actually is, and I used to absolutely hate it, and you know, people would say it all the time, it's the classic thing you always hear, but the music programme wasn't really my thing, the news programme was, and that clearly shone through, and that's what won it for me, I think, in 2014.
Mm-hmm. We've got the nominations for this year's awards being announced tonight. What advice would you give to people that are thinking about entering? You know, how important is it if they do go on to success in it?
So I think awards are brilliant. There's, you know, the Student Radio Awards are second to none. There's nothing like them for people who are doing student radio. I think having entered and not been nominated several times, I think don't be down, you know, obviously you'll be disappointed, but don't worry, come back next year, do it again. Awards aren't the be-all and end-all. They are brilliant and they do give you a good kind of launch pad. But I think, you know, I would probably say the same about exams, I guess, that they're important and they can be really helpful to kind of progress you on to the next stage. Yeah, so I think the important thing to remember with the awards is that they're not the be-all and end-all. However, they are absolutely brilliant. So wherever possible, enter your best stuff, be really proud of what you enter. Don't think, you know, I could have entered something better. Always choose the best stuff and make sure that that's what gets submitted. There's some really brilliant people looking across and judging these awards. So if you don't win, if you're not successful, or, you know, if you get to the nomination stage and don't get further than that, take on board the feedback. That's vital. And that's access to radio industry legends and professionals that very few other people will have. So make sure you take on the feedback. For those who do win, congratulations. And for those who come silver and bronze as well, absolutely brilliant work. Well done. Congratulations. Make the most of it as well. Don't take it kind of lying down. Make sure you capitalise. It's something that very few people win, you know, one person a year. So, you know, you're almost unique, a very small pool of people. So yeah, make the most of it. Make sure you contact people and say, look, this is what I've done, and use it to propel yourself onto the next stage.
I'm really excited to announce that we have the 2014 Gold Best Male Presenter speaking to you today, former Fresh Air man himself, Callum MacDonald.
So radio, in my opinion, especially with speech radio, it's a little bit different with music radio stations, but with speech radio, it's all about a conversation. And I think often we can be guilty of making it a lot more complicated than that, but actually it is just people chatting. That's what you're listening to. That's what you said there, when the interview's natural and there's good chemistry, it is literally a conversation. So although you said presenting can be difficult, which it can, you know, let's not overcomplicate it too much. So, for those of you who don't listen to Five Live, first of all, you're all wrong, but that's fine. I've got a little video here. So I nipped into the studio yesterday to film a little bit in what's called the cubicle. So it's a little bit different. Some of you might be kind of familiar with the format of how a kind of DJ-driven music program works, where they're operating the desk and they're bringing in all the guests and all that sort of stuff. But at Five Live, it's a little bit different because it's primarily, well, it is a speech radio station doing news and sport. So this is me. I'm standing here in what's called the cubicle, and then through the glass there is are the two presenters. So it's Tony Livesey and Lucy Gray were presenting the Five Live's Drive Time program yesterday. Now, Five Live Drive is infamously one of the busiest programs on the station. It's got the biggest production team. It's on from 4 till 7. Every weekday. So a three-hour news programme, and it does the day's news, lots of great interviews, you know, all the usual travel, weather updates and all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted you to become a little bit more familiar with what a kind of quintessential Five Live programme kind of looks like from behind the scenes.
safety, and that automatically helps you look out the window and see if anybody's coming, rather than just opening it with the hand nearest the door.
Yeah.
And this is saving lives, is it, Danny, or certainly preventing injuries?
Okay, so we're fast-forwarding the news bulletin because it's much the same, but I'll kind of explain a little bit more about who these people are. But as you can see already, it's a little bit different to perhaps what you might see on Radio 1 or Radio 2. There's a big team in the studio here making it happen. So in front of us here is Liam, so he's editing the programme, he's in charge. Then beside him we've got a studio director, studio manager, and you saw Alison was on the right-hand side. She's the news producer, the news bulletin producer, so she's kind of overseeing all of that stuff. And this team in the studio is supported by like nine producers who are sat outside, eight or nine producers for Drive. So annoyingly, Drive, as I was saying, is infamously busy. Generally, every news story that breaks happens in Drive's time. It's like Prince died during Drive's time, for example, or it was announced that he died during Drive's time, and various other bits and pieces. So this team is hugely reactive to breaking news, and they're just incredible at what they do. So this is kind of what it looks like. This is quite a quiet opening to the Drive program, unfortunately, yesterday, but it's the best I could do. So I hope that kind of gives you an idea of what it looks like. Is that fun? Is that entertaining? I sent this to somebody yesterday and said, is this interesting? And they said yes, so I went for it. Is that okay? Good, right, okay. I think we can shut them up now. But yeah, that's the Drive team. So if you're not familiar with Five Live, listen to Drive, because it's kind of quintessential. Right, I'm going to sit down again, because otherwise I'll fall over. Okay, so that's where I work. And as I say, I've been there for about a year. I was asked to kind of chat a little bit about how I got there. So I'll do that kind of quickly. But then I kind of, as I say, I want this to be a conversation, because otherwise it'll all feel like you're in a uni lecture, and nobody wants that on a Wednesday afternoon. So I was at the University of Edinburgh. I was involved in Fresh Air for my entire 4 years at uni. When I first started uni, I was a member of the news team, the newly formed news team on Fresh Air indeed. So that was good fun. And then in second year, I was still on the news team, but I kind of did my own music program as well. And then in third year, I took over running the news team, which was kind of the best year for me, as far as I was concerned. Various things that we did, and I think what's important to mention about student radio is the opportunity it gives to kind of familiarise yourself with what you like to do, to get used to doing it as well, and to kind of find what your thing is. So as I was saying, in second year, I was presenting a music programme as well as doing some reporting for the news team. And while that was a great laugh and we had loads of fun and, you know, we're messing around and playing some great music and whatever, it wasn't really my thing. I can do it and it was enjoyable. But as an example of how much it wasn't my thing, so I entered the Student Radio Awards that year, didn't get anywhere, and the feedback, as I'm sure a lot of you will have heard, and I used to absolutely hate it, the feedback was always to be yourself. And I was like, oh, shut up, stop telling me to be myself. Of course I'm being myself, go away. And it didn't win, didn't get nominated. That was a disappointment, but there we are. And then in third year, I was obviously presenting the news programme, entered the awards, and won. So that was because I was doing what I enjoyed, what my passion was, what I was naturally interested in. So don't get me wrong, if you're a music presenter, that's great, but the news is my thing. So that was really enjoyable. I think in terms of trying to offer advice on how to end up work. Do all of you actually want to work in radio? Or are there some people who are just doing it for fun? Yeah, lots of nods, mostly nodding. Great. Does everybody want to be a presenter? No. We've got some presenters in the room. Who wants to be a presenter? Yeah, great. Who wants to produce? Who wants to do the techie stuff? No one. Cool. Who hasn't put their hand up? Who wants to do other stuff? Hit me. Go on. Commentator. Brilliant. So I think use student radio to your advantage. I think I always say that in my experience, uni is a great time for student radio. It's a great time for work experience, while you don't need to be too worried about, you know, working a couple of days here and there for free. I know it's a bit of a sour taste in the mouth, but, you know, if you're coming to a job brand new and you can afford to give a couple of days of your time, if it's in Edinburgh or if it's somewhere else, you can stay on somebody's couch. I stayed with my auntie several times. I did my first work experience placement when I was 16 at Five Live. Stayed with my auntie, who was very good to me, and stayed in London and went to do my work experience. And then it's about using those opportunities. So one thing, I think it was Tim Johns. Is that a familiar name to anyone? Radio T's Jeremy Vine's producer. He used to be Fresh Air. I'm sure it was him that said that, you know, he was doing a talk at a student radio thing, and he said, you know, I'll give my email address out today and encourage you all to get in touch with me. And he said, in a room of 100 people, say, I'll be lucky if one of you actually gets in touch. And I think that that is really a good indication of not capitalising. So I'm not saying it's me. It might be one of the other great speakers that are lined up to chat with you later on. But make connections and speak to people and keep in touch with people. The only reason I'm working, I think, where I am is because I was able to go and do work experience, get used to the job, prove I could do the job, keep in touch with the people that gave me the work experience, and then they were kind of, they could alert me to when opportunities were arising that then I could, to make a break for it, kind of thing. So, yeah, so use student radio as your playground, mess about, do fun stuff, do great programs, find out what works and what doesn't. Make it, don't overcomplicate it, make it a conversation. That's all it is. That's what people engage with.
You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
This is Scott here for the SRA podcast. We're in Edinburgh at Fresh Air, and I'm with Richard Melvin, who is the next speaker today at today's training day. Richard, could you tell me a little bit about your background and your route into radio?
Yeah, sure. Well, I started off when I was young, making tapes and like introducing records on little plastic player record on tapes and sending them to friends, mainly girls. I think I was trying to impress and never succeeded. I never really thought it would be something that I would do as a job, you know, but I did student radio. I was at university in Leeds, and had a show at Leeds University student radio, and then got a kind of proper job and did hospital radio as a hobby here in Edinburgh. Did Red Dot Radio, and then I took a year out and went travelling, and while I was travelling I was like, well, life's too short, got to live your dreams. So I went and volunteered at Radio 4th, now 4th 1. And I worked there as a volunteer for the summer during the Edinburgh Festival and really fell in love with all of that. And through that got a job at Beat 106, which was this kind of trendy dance music station. And I worked there for a short time, but from there I managed to get onto a production trainee scheme at BBC Radio Scotland. So when the BBC came around, because the BBC still is the best sort of training ground, I think, when the BBC came around, I was in quite a fortunate position that I could sort of demonstrate how passionate I was about it. You know, I'd been doing it as a volunteer, I'd been doing it for nothing. And then I worked on the production training scheme at Radio Scotland and ended up producing the Fred McCauley show, and then ended up as the senior producer there and was there for about 5 years. Until 10, nearly 11 years ago, and then I set my own independent production company, and now I run that, and I've been doing that for the last 10, 11 years.
Great. We'll talk about your production company in a second. I just wanted to ask, you mentioned that you did student radio in Leeds. What would you say you learned from your time doing student radio?
Well, I learned from my time doing student radio just how much fun it could be. You know, there was just no pressure on any of us. I had a show with a friend that we did on a Friday night, and we just played the records that we loved and the music that we loved and tried to make each other laugh. And there was some real sort of freedom of doing that. And I think I sort of, through doing that, fell in love. You know, I was already in love with music, but it was really telling stories, you know, and sort of creating a narrative and sort of finding good stories that people were interested in listening to and sort of working out pacing in those stories. And that was certainly something. And also it was a great community of people who had a shared interest. And when you're at uni, it's often quite mind-bending. There's so many people, so many things to do, and you always think that, you know, everybody's having a better time than you are, you know. But when we were in our little student radio bubble, we were certainly convinced that we were having the best time, you know.
Awesome. So let's go on to talk about your production company, Dabster.
Yep. Yes. Well, Dabster, there's a team of us. At the moment, there's four of us our main job is to make comedy radio shows for Radio 4. That's pretty much what we do about half of our time. We also make comedy shows and feature shows for BBC Radio Scotland. and have done for a long time, and I love making shows for Radio Scotland. That Radio Scotland sort of feels like my first love. Then we also make podcasts and online films, and we've sort of do live webinars for various clients. Radio, it's difficult to make a living out of just radio. It's very competitive. There's competition for slots, competition for the money that's available. So, I mean, our favourite job is making radio shows, but we also do, you know, audio and video work for kind of corporate clients. So we've made podcasts for The Guardian, for Amnesty International. We make the podcast during the Edinburgh Festival for The Pleasance. We do all the Pleasance TV and Pleasance Comedy Podcast. And now we're also doing series for HIE tourism and things like that. So, but we have got some fairly crushing deadlines at the moment for a new series that we're making on Radio Scotland called Funny Kind of World, which is about making jokes about race and religion and things like that. We've also got a deadline on a second series of a show for Radio 4 that we're working on. And then I've just been travelling around India for the last 3 weeks making a documentary about Scottish people who travel around India. It's about people having a breakdown and going to India to find spiritual enlightenment. I don't know why they picked me as the host for that. No idea.
He's got his own production company, Dabster Productions. He's made countless hours of comedic content for BBC. He's done chart-topping iTunes podcasts. He's also taught me a little bit about radio, which I've learned some really good lessons from him. So without further ado, Richard Melvin, big round of applause.
Hi, everyone. I'll talk to you about podcasts because we've had quite a few experiences where commissioning editors are quite risk-averse on taking on ideas, you know. So if you've got an idea, you know, it's such a vast subject, radio. You know, I don't think, do people still call it radio? I mean, even at the BBC, is it not called audio now or something? I mean, it's such a vast area and there's so many different ways of going into radio and DJ and production and music and all that kind of stuff. So I'll talk about it from my experiences, which is as a sort of traditional producer, a producer of speech radio and a producer of comedy radio. But like one of the things that we do is that if we find a nice idea, if we see something that we think works really well, then we'll just go out and try and make it, you know, just go and do it. Because commissioning editors are very sort of risk averse to, they're very risk averse to taking on new ideas and spending money on stuff that they don't know is going to work or whether it's going to be something that's a success. So we had an idea for a podcast after we'd done Live at the Stand, and that had been commissioned. We had another idea for a podcast called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It was just something that was a panel show where we got comedians to basically come on and tell a good story, tell a bad story, and then we changed it to from ugly, because of copyright reasons it turned out, to the good, the bad, and the unexpected, and then an unexpected story. And it was a really simple format, and we recorded them at the Stand Comedy Club, and we put it out there, worked with Joe Caulfield and Julia Sutherland, who was now, I'd persuaded to leave the BBC to come and work with me. And we ended up doing this as a podcast, and it did quite well, and we got it kind of commissioned by BBC Radio Scotland. And I've got some bits of audio here for our very first like stand-up shows. They were just really basic stand-up comedy, okay? So I'll play you a little mix. This is a little mix of just a montage of the sort of jokes that we were putting on to our first podcast, which led us to our Radio Scotland show. So let's see if this works.
Dave drowned. So at his funeral, we got him a wreath in the shape of a life belt. Well, that's what he would have wanted.
I would like to see a world without plagiarism. You may say I'm a dreamer. But I'm not the only one.
So a man walks into an elevator and he sees a woman and he says, "Can I smell your vagina?" She says, "Absolutely not." He says, "Oh, then it must be your feet."
So I recently were in having a meal and a drink and I said, "I love you." She said, "Is that you talking to the beer?" I said, "It's me. I'm talking to the beer."
So it was all very simple stuff, you know. It was just really jokes. That was it, like finding jokes and putting them out there. And, you know, it was that connection. Jokes were connecting with an audience. But as kind of time went on, we felt that we needed to do more than that. You know, like there's so much stand-up on TV now. There's so much stand-up on the radio. I mean, we're responsible. We make a lot of stand-up shows for the radio. But we just felt that we needed to sort of bring a bit more format to it and start to think a bit more deeply about what we were doing. And also, just from a personal point of view, as a producer and as a radio person, I wanted to find sort of more interesting stories to tell, you know, and to find more interesting ways of telling those stories and make them more engaging and use sound in a better way.